good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.
That's right.
That means it's for all men. It's good tidings of great joy. That means the great joy bursts out of understanding the good tidings. So you're not looking for a spirit of joy. It's not an altar call. It's not an anointing of joy like we always call it. There's a joy that comes through understanding the good news. And when you're singing a song like Bless Him, Bless His Holy Name, and I was sitting reading the scripture, I was checking something out of my Bible and I couldn't stand it. I said, this is too much. So I was relaxing. I was going to get up here in a second. I was just kind of having my heart in a posture and the song got me. And it talks about the Lord delighting in mercy. Guys, I want to encourage your heart this morning. Listen, the whole reason we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, we don't gather because we're Christians in America and Sunday's our church day. The reason we gather is in order that we might stir one another up in love and good works. And no matter what your current situation, circumstance, your present state of life is in, you can always walk in love and good works. It's the reason you're on the planet.
Yeah.
I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced that the reason life seems like a grind to so many people and such a big challenge is because we wake up every day and live it outside of why we're here.
Come on.
And then there's no grace to empower you on the road you're traveling because you were never created to travel that road.
That's right.
And that's why life seems like such a grind for so many people. You know how people say life's a bleep, life's a blank, life's a... And, you know, be modest when you fill in those blanks, but I'm bleeping and blanking because there's usually not good words attached there. And people have this idea of life because the whole idea of life was miscued and twisted through sin and through the fall of man and separation from God. If you're new this morning, some of you have been hearing this all weekend, but I'll just bring everybody up to speed. Listen, we were born into what Adam created. We were born into what Adam accomplished through sin and separation. We weren't born into what God intended. That's why it says you must be born again.
Yeah, right.
We somehow got the idea that born again is a beneficial prayer I pray that gets me to heaven someday. Now I understand that heaven is real and eternal life is part of the package. Eternal life isn't the main goal. We always say is eternal life. The main goal is the transformation of your life. It's all things becoming new. We just sang a song about new wine. The Bible says that new wine doesn't contain in an old wineskin. You don't pour something new into something old. The wineskin has to become new. That means, that doesn't just mean forgiven of the stuff you've done. That means new mindset, new motive, new reason for being, new perspective, new attitude, new heart, new will, new way. Come on, the gospel doesn't fit into the old. You don't incorporate Jesus into your life. He doesn't become a part of your life. He becomes your life. We're talking about everything to His glory and we lift Him up. Your life lived is the highest way to bring Jesus glory. Your life lived is the highest form of worship when it's lived in the will of God. So let me get back to something quick. This whole self thing, it's all we've known, guys. Like ministers will say, this gospel will cost you everything. The only thing this gospel costs you is giving back what was never you in the first place. Like giving back what was never yours. He's just saying, give me your life. And we're thinking that's some heavy price. The life you were living was life outside of Him. It was life in your own will, your own way. It was a zero. Like you're not reproducing anything good when you're living for you. You're actually taking advantage of the people you say you love. You come with attitude and put pressure on your family. You don't talk to a family member for 2 days because you're mad. Come on, what is that? Heaven doesn't know that, doesn't understand that. We were born into that. You have to get born again. That means you come out of darkness into the light. The gospel calls for change, but it's not some, oh man, this thing will cost you everything. It just costs you when you never were in the first place.
Yeah.
You just give up the lie to obtain the truth.
Amen.
Yeah. Jesus said, if any man, any woman, the word's all inclusive, humanity, any human being comes after me, let him first, the first thing on the list is not praying a prayer to go to heaven. The first thing on the list in Jesus' word, Matthew 16, is deny yourself. Why? The biggest problem on the planet is that every day men wake up and live for themselves when they're made for God's image. When they're called to live by the Spirit and to walk in truth. And all the mentalities we acquired, all the language we've learned, it was all homeschooled in the wrong home. He said we're supposed to not ever again be conformed to the world, Romans 12:2. You're supposed to, Romans 12:1, present yourself as a living, holy sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, rational service of worship. That's Romans 12:1. It's there. You can read it. I've read it many, many, many times. In my bedroom, read it with my hands raised, yielding to Him, presenting myself acceptable unto Him through the blood with a new heart, a new mind, a new perspective, ready to step out in my day new. Not stepping in my day hurt and let down and failed expectations. Well, he said, well, that hurt. Well, why did they always have to? Well, he started it. Hello? None of that came from Him. None of that came from heaven. It all came from the fall of man, and we were trained by a lie our whole lives. We were born into the fall of man, and by sheer instinct, we were a certain way because self-centeredness was the core value of all of our lives. We all live from the wellspring of what about me? And Jesus is coming, and He's the truth, and He is amazing. And He says, let me show you what this is like. And He lays down His life, and He's healing and delivering, and they're mocking and scorning. Religious people are trying to hear what's wrong with what He's saying, so they can't never hear what He's saying. And they're the leaders. They're the leaders. And truth is right in front of them speaking. Truth Himself. And ain't nobody can hear it. And He never changes. He don't get frustrated. He don't quit. He don't get mad. He don't cop an attitude. He don't say, well, what a bunch of idiots. If they don't appreciate me, fine, I'll go to another town. He just keeps doing good. He just keeps healing. He just keeps being love. Why? Because love never fails. Why? Because it doesn't seek its own. Oh, I'm on to something in my life. I'm done being disheartened and discouraged and frustrated and having five excuses why I'm not okay when He's the Lord the whole time. I'm done letting one thing and one person decide who I am and how I am when they're not Jesus. I'm done with it, man. I'm finished with it for 24 years, not 24 days, not 24 weeks, 24 years. You can tell I'm not burned out. You can tell I'm not discouraged. In fact, I calmed down enough to communicate. No, it's true. I'm not joking. I'm excited inside. Why? Because I didn't wake up for you to owe me a thing. I didn't wake up to be disappointed today. I woke up to shine. I woke up to love. Not be loved, to love. Why? Because I'm getting all my be love right here. I got so much be love. Woo! I got, man, I be loved. And I got so much be love going on. That I didn't wake up to be loved. There ain't nothing you can owe me. There's no way you can let me down today. I didn't put one expectation on you.
That's right.
My expectation is from the Lord.
Come on.
There is no way. My own wife knows this. It makes her free. She ain't on eggshells. It makes her free. Brings out the best in her. My own wife owes me nothing every day. She has no ability to change my attitude or disposition or hurt me or break my heart. Why? I love her.
Right.
Oh, you ought to get real with me. I hope we're ready for the gospel.
Come on.
Because I think we're ready to be treated right and fair. And I think we got a lot of reasons to not be like Him. And they're all lies because He's the Lord.
Amen.
Come on. We've let a lot of things decide who we are and how we are. Just how life is going determines how we're doing. And all of a sudden, life itself is in control. How somebody treats you all of a sudden can dictate your life for 5, 6 months, a year. You call it love. Wonder if it's insecurity. Wonder if you've been finding your identity through that thing and now you have none. And now you're insecure until that's restored. You ever see somebody break up with somebody? They can't function. They can't eat. They can't focus. And the other person walks off like they never cared. It's because it was never love. It's always needs driven. We're trying to find our identity through one another. You only find your identity through Him. And only then can you actually have healthy, true relationship. I understand there's folks that are making it work. But I'm talking about I love you. I'm talking about no more unresolved conflicts. I'm talking about not going to bed in quiet tension. I'm talking about not going to work with unresolved stuff and having uncomfortable feelings in your car and then nervous when you walk back home, just setting each other up for eggshells. Come on. I'm talking about walking in love. I'm talking about waking up and knowing why you're alive, bringing Him glory, bless His holy name. His mercy endureth forever. He's a merciful God. What's the big deal about what I'm saying about that? It's the one thing Satan can't defeat for sure. He thinks he's got us on all these angles. And when he gets us at our worst, this thing called mercy shows up.
Amen.
And when you got absolutely no hope on every angle, mercy shows up and gives you hope.
Come on.
When you got no chance on every side, mercy shows up and gives you a chance. This guy freaked the devil out, man. He boxes us in. He strings us along. And sometimes we're just easy. We just go on with him. And then we just bam! And it's like, too late, done, over.
Come on.
And then this thing called mercy shows up and it's him. And you didn't have a chance in the world, but you got a chance in Him.
Amen.
It's the thing Satan can't defeat about God. You can say, well, he can't defeat His power. He can't defeat His wisdom. I get all that of what you're saying, but he can't defeat His mercy, which means he can't take away your destiny unless you let him.
That's right.
You could have messed up and messed up and messed up until this day. But on the day you say, I'm done with that thing. I'm done with going after me. I'm done with taking everything personal. I'm done with saying so-and-so owes me. I'm done with saying I'm this way because I didn't have no loving father. I'm just done with all the reasons why I am whatever I am. I'm done. I'm done being played. I'm done being strung along. And I'm going after God. I'm calling it all dead. I'm laying it all down. He's going to raise me up this way. You can spend 40 years living a lie. And the next 20 years, you can turn the world upside down within your sphere of influence for transformation and change. And when it looks like life has been wasted, mercy shows up and says, you haven't wasted anything. Because when I get my hands involved, I'm the redeemer of all things. And I can take you where you'd have been if you'd have followed me all this time. And I can accomplish through you in the next 10 years what you'd have done in 40 years. Because I am the Lord.
Amen. Yes.
So, what are we going to do with that? Are we going to be believers? Look, I'm not being cynical. I appreciate your amen. Are we just going to say amen? Or are we going to put this thing in action, go after him, spend time with him, and step into every day with a new why behind our life?
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Or if you agree with it, you can say, well, that was a good sermon, brother. I have no interest in preaching a good sermon. I don't even preach sermons. I don't even know what I do. A seminary would probably have trouble with me. They wouldn't even be able to categorize me. I don't know what I do. I just stand up here and pour out my heart because it's real to me. Because I know who I am because I live with me. You can try to figure me out from a distance all you want. I already know who I am. And I'm confident in that truth. And life is a gift. And I'm not burning down and boggled and overwhelmed. And when my kids decided to take a little season to run wild, it didn't change a thing about truth.
Come on.
I wouldn't even give my children that kind of power. Why? I don't find my identity through my children. I find my identity through Jesus so I can be the best dad in that moment and not insecure and condemned and wondering if I failed. Hello, parents. I've watched countless parents lose their disposition when their children fall flat. I've watched countless parents curl up and almost die inside and get condemned because they're sure it's their fault, even if it was their child's decision. I had a mother just crying and crying and crying, and her boy was 30-something. And I said, he's making his own choices. It's not on your head, honey. Stop being driven by this thing and get along with God and become the woman you're called to be. Release faith over your son and go live productive. It's amazing how we find identity through so many things. Jesus said, unless you love less, your mother, your father, these are important folks to some. Your mother, because some people believe they hate their mother or they hate their father because their mother didn't want them when they were born. Look, your mother was lost in that season. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. It's a reflection of your mother, not you and your value. Why would you let the deception of your mother decide your value? Because she didn't want you at birth. The author and giver of life said to be born. If there's a time to be born and you were here, even if your mother didn't want you, somebody said be born. Hello. You got 500 million sperm cells racing for one egg, and it was you. You say, I ain't never won nothing in my whole life. You won the biggest race of life. You got 500 million squigglies shooting for one destination. And the first one there, the first one in is the winner. And all the rest go wherever. And that one in was you. Why? Because there's a time to be born. And he's the author, and he's the gift. We say, yeah, but my mama, my daddy was never there, my daddy. Jesus came in Matthew 23:9. He said, don't you call no man on earth your father. What's he saying? You're sinning on Father's Day if you send him a card? No. He's saying, don't you limit, identify, regulate, and find your life through biology, natural inheritance, and human means. You've got one father. He's in heaven. Call no man on earth your father. See, he's pulling all the excuses. And we ain't reading the word and believing it, so we got all the excuses. And now we're driven to live by how we feel instead of live by the truth of what we really believe in him. 500 million. And it was you. He showed me that one time in the prayer room. He really did. Come on, he made all this stuff. It ain't weird. The way it all happens is him.
Come on.
Just the way we all go about it is usually deceived. But the original intention is holy, beautiful, and pure. There's a time where he predestined me to be adopted as a son, Ephesians 1. So when I jumped in mama's egg, he saw that from the beginning. You can't ever convince me I was an accident. My dad was an alcoholic. You can't say, well, he didn't even care about having you, man. He was just drunk and mom was looking good. Maybe, because my mom did look good. And he probably was drunk. So? Where's life come from? Mom and dad?
Nope.
Where's it come from? So why am I standing here? Woo-hoo! You see what's wrong with me? I believe the gospel. There ain't nobody talking me out of it. My life is calculated on time and on purpose. And so is yours. Because of one scripture I found that said, there's a time to be born. Don't you miss your time. Don't you get caught up in trivial things. Don't you believe stuff that doesn't produce life or fruit or encourage your heart. Don't you get forlorn and discouraged and long-faced and hard-hearted because of folks that don't see and understand. You go ahead and see and understand. If you're trying to find truth through people, of course you have a muddy view. But if you find truth through him, you'll see clear in the midst of it all. And you'll be able to understand what he meant when he said, forgive them, They don't know what they do. And all of a sudden, you'll stop crying for yourself and you'll cry for others. And all of a sudden, you'll stop being hurt by people and you'll hurt for them instead of because of them. Why? Because you'll know if they really knew who they were, if they were really filled with the Holy Ghost, if they were really in love with Jesus, they would be living what they're living. That should break your heart for them, not break your heart because of them.
Amen.
See, these are the barometers that reveal if you really know Him or not. Or if you're just tricked into attending church and paying homage to God. Or is He really the Lord of your life and living through you? Come on, I'm not being mean. That's not a mean statement. Don't you shake on me on that. I felt a little riffle there in the room. Religion is a wretched thing and we get sucked into it all the time without realizing it. And all of a sudden we're just paying homage to God and blessing our food. And now I lay me down to sleep. But we're hurting our heart. We have unresolved conflict with the person laying beside us. Even though we have children and we've been intimate. These things were never, ever, ever the plan of God. So we got to get born again. And that is not a prayer you pray to go to heaven when the bell rings. That is a life that's transformed and stepped back into purpose. And eternal life is part of the package. But transformed life is the package. I got so many scriptures to prove it. Jesus never told you to get saved to go to heaven. He told you to get saved to get a new life. How did He tell us to pray? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come, thy kingdom, thy
will
on
earth
as it is
in heaven.
Wow. So it's not wrong. It's not wrong, but we always think the power of God there. So we say, well, there's no cancer in heaven. There should be no cancer on earth. And it gives us faith to pray and believe that somebody could be healed of cancer. That's not wrong. That's true. But why is it always miracles? Why is it always the power of God? Why isn't it ever the heart of God? Your will be done on as... There's no animosity in heaven. There's no personal conflicts. There's no unforgiveness. There's no rebellion. There's no anger. There's no vengeance. There's no jealousy. There's no pride. So all of a sudden, I'm learning through Scripture that none of those things came from Him. He didn't teach us any of those things. So if all we know is those things, where did we learn them if He didn't teach us? If He's the good teacher and there's only one teacher and you have one teacher and He's the Christ, but we didn't learn those things from Him, then where in the world did we learn it? Oh, I'm making sense. Your heart hears what I'm saying. And He's saying, how about getting born again? That's your answer. You know what I love about Jesus? He didn't preach at me. He modeled this thing. He came as a man and walked it out and gave me something to follow. He didn't just come and shout me down in the seat. He lived it, and He said, come on in, follow me. That's what I love about Him. He's the Word made flesh. He didn't just preach the gospel to us. He lived the gospel. Men treated Him more wrong than any man has ever been treated because He was totally pure and deserved nothing and got everything called the cross.
Come on.
Got beat beyond description, got marred and marked more than anybody ever was by the hands of men, your Bible teaches if you read it. Hosea 52 says Jesus was marred more than any of the sons of men. Guys, when they were done working Him over, He was worse at the hands of men than any man ever came through. That's intense. That means He's unrecognizable. He's undescribable. You can't even tell if He's a male or female when they're done. Because the wretched, sadistic, barbaric things men have done, the people have left them unrecognizable. And Isaiah said Jesus was marred more. You put somebody on a stake and burn them. You say they're a witch and you burn them. Hasn't that happened in history?
Yeah.
Okay, when the fire goes out, can you tell who's hanging there? When the fire ceases, can you tell if it was a man or a woman? You're lucky if you can tell it's a person. Jesus was marred more than I saw a picture of a little girl that was in a head-on collision, 70 mile an hour, head-on, no brakes. And it didn't look like a person. There's no way you could tell it was a girl. It didn't even look like a person. Jesus was marred more than any of the sons of men. Why? Why did it have to be so intense? Why did he get hammered so hard? Why couldn't he just take 39 stripes and a few stakes in the hand and shed some blood? Why did he have to get beat beyond description? Because when sin got done with Adam in the garden, he didn't look anything like he was created to be. He had lost his appearance in the Lord. So Jesus came and lost his appearance to pay the price for us to get the identity back and be one with God and have life again in our spirit and look more like him. That's incredible. That's love. We get uncomfortable if Jesus is on a t-shirt if we wear it sometimes. We get uncomfortable to even have people believe and know what we believe. Sometimes we just get uncomfortable what people think. Jesus is willing to get beat beyond description for doing nothing wrong, everything right, taking the hit for us as if it was us, and then saying, guys, now you can go free if you'll catch this message and come unto me. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Don't let sin against you produce sin in you. Don't repay evil for evil. Overcome evil for good. Would you, with good, would you follow me? Don't just sing to me. Don't just pray to me when you're overwhelmed. Just don't make me your genie in a bottle. Yeah. Let me be your Lord. Won't you follow me? And the things I do, you will do.
Hello.
If you believe.
Yes.
Oh, that's a good, powerful gospel right there. It's good tidings of great joy. I don't have to carry the weight of concern for me anymore. I can actually live for his name's sake and your sake and be the freest I've ever been. You can't tell me that if you're discouraged, it's not you taking your circumstances so personal that it's keeping you from seeing clear truth. How can you be discouraged if you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? If your highest interest is the sake of others, how can your heart be hurt by others? If you lay down your life for the sake of others, how can you be offended by others? Love takes no account of the wrong done to it. Then why are we so busted up by each other? Why are we so moved by stuff? Because we haven't pursued to be perfected in love. We've been pursuing to be blessed by him and get the package called eternal life. But we haven't allowed that life to become our expression. So are we following him or are we needing him? I wonder if Satan has figured this out and he doesn't believe any of us really love God. We just need God and that makes us easy targets circumstantially. I wonder if he can push and pull strings and push buttons and get the Christian mad at God because of his circumstances, because of the loss of a loved one, because of the loss of a child. I wonder if he can flip the script and all of a sudden God's the enemy. Why? Because we're self-centered and won't admit it. Unless you love less your mother, father, spouse, children, houses, land, and yes, even your own life, you'll by no means ever be my disciple. He didn't say you won't go to church. He didn't say you won't pastor. He didn't say you won't serve in a ministry. He didn't say you won't feed the poor or go on a mission trip. But he did say you'll never be a wholehearted follower, a disciplined learner of everything I paid for. Unless you love less that list that we hold dear. Now here's the raw truth. Almost all the messages we preach inspire us to be Christians for the sake of that list. Come on. And that most of us are Christians for the well-being of that list. So if anything gets shaken on that list, we're totally shook. And now even our view of God is marred because what we became a Christian for the protection of hasn't been protected. And now he's in question. You have no intimacy. You have judgment. And isn't that amazing? Because he never judged you. And you were flat out wrong. It's amazing how a human being can actually find God guilty in the court of his mind and be sure he's right. When he's the creator, the great potter, the almighty God. It's amazing how twisted the fall of man is and how wretched the pride of man is that he can get so puffed up in his mind that he can be analytical and track in his mind facts and actually believe he found fault with God and found him guilty. It is a sure sign of the fall of man. This is the wretchedness of pride. It is man puffed up in his own wisdom. The foolishness of God, Corinthians 1, the foolishness of God is wiser than men's wisdom. Whatever that means, the foolishness of God is wiser than men's wisdom. And we're sure we got it all figured out. Our life's a gift, guys. This thing I'm preaching is good news. It's just passionately compelling you to die to everything that's hindering us walking in the light as he's in the light. The reason we're on the earth is to shine. The reason we're on the earth is to love one another. And if we miss it, we've missed why he came. We're the glory of his inheritance on the earth, Ephesians 1. Yeah? Not your inheritance, his inheritance. We're the dividends. We're what he has to report on his tax return. He deposited the blood of his son in the earth. We're the kickback. We're the return. We're the dividends of the investment. Each seed after his own kind. He sowed one son to obtain many sons. He sowed love, holiness, and Christlikeness to receive the same in as many as would believe. And we are the body of Christ. Somehow we turned that into a congregation with doctrinal beliefs, so we put all the different beliefs on every corner and go where we believe on Sunday, pay homage to God, and go home and argue with each other. Oh, I'm just being real. Fight over where we're going to eat after holy is the Lord. Really, why do you always get to pick? When do I ever get to eat where I want to eat? Eat where you want to eat. Eat extra. Have at it, man. Breaks my heart how the things don't matter at all matter the most. And the things that matter the most many times aren't even considered. Man, I didn't mean to be like this morning. I'm sorry. I'm just being real and relating this the way it's in me. It's just too easy to have an attitude and be self-centered and self-focused and be sure you're right when your attitude ain't producing one thing called life. It's keeping you frustrated. It's keeping you angry. It's keeping you at odds. And the whole time you're missing the fruitful reason that you're here. I'm not talking to the room right now. I'm talking to about three, that's all. Right there. That last comment was for about three folks that are doing their best to not even listen to me. But you can't not hear. I'm not being arrogant. You're hearing. You're just not trying to hear. He loves you too much to not let you hear. Says, how can they believe if they haven't heard? How can they hear if no one tells them? They gave me the mic. Oops. Life's a gift. And you're just way too important to his plan to not be told. My push is, and I'm just afraid you're going to go to hell. My push is, I'm afraid you're going to miss the reason why you were here. My push ain't just you going to hell. And I ain't trying to preach you something, you know, you got to heaven to gain the hell to shun. That's not my conviction at all. You got a purpose to walk in. You got a truth to enjoy. You got freedom right in front of you. If you'll die to yourself and live to his great name. That's what this water baptism is all about. We probably, I don't even know that we have a whole lot of folks who get water baptized. You guys are on water baptism anymore. This is good. It excites me. They're doing water baptisms here all the time in the area with Pastor Craig. And if you go to a lot of churches, water baptism is an annual event at best, if it's even talked about. Why? Because our whole push is getting people to heaven. So we're preaching a gospel that saves you to a place called heaven instead of puts heaven inside of you. So baptism isn't really necessary in that message because there's no transformation of life in many ways. So you can pray a prayer to go to heaven and stay angry at your boss and still despise your wife. But you sleep with her because you have needs. Just being real. It's not the point. Water baptism is I'm dying to everything I've ever been and everything that's ever done to me. So as God raised Jesus by the glory of the Father, so even I will be raised in the newness of life. Water baptism is a sign of transformation. The water is the grave Jesus was buried in. So it's death, burial, resurrection. Jesus hung naked on a cross. I'm sure he was naked. In front of everyone to see. Beaten beyond description for doing absolutely nothing wrong. And he wasn't standing there saying, "You bunch of idiots, open your blind eyes. I'm the Son of God. Think about the miracles. Think about the multiplication of food. You think a demon's doing that? I already told you a house divided can't stand. You bunch of knuckleheads. What are you doing? Come on." Peter had a beef, wouldn't he? Woo, he could have said it, man, if he wasn't love. He could have said it if he wasn't the Lord. You say, well, why didn't he say it? Because he's Jesus. No, because he's love. He ain't taking no account of the wrong. And believe me, it was wrong. You don't have one chapter in your Bible where he dropped that cross and had an analytical moment. Father, I ain't doing this. Are you kidding me? These people are idiots, man. I'm doing nothing but good. Everything you're telling me to say, I'm saying. And all they do is listen for what they don't agree with. They're so puffed up in themselves, they can't even see who I am. And if they can't see who I am, they sure ain't seeing who you are. They don't love us, God. Look what they're doing to me. They're so selfish. If they didn't change by now, after all those miracles, they ain't never changing. I ain't taking no more. I ain't hanging on that cross. And if they hit me with one more stick. Come on! We have had that attitude our whole lives called rightness. Wow. And he has the right to have it and can have it because he's love. And he's telling us to deny ourselves so we can follow love. And if you don't deny yourself, you can't follow love. Oh, you can go to church, you can pray your list, and God will show mercy and probably move in ways. But you'll never fulfill while you're here.
That's good.
If you don't deny yourself. Why? Because there's absolutely scripturally no selfishness in love. And scripturally there's absolutely no love in selfishness. You can't mix the two. There is no possible marriage between the two. You with me? So man, if you're not surrendered, I don't have to have an altar call. We don't always have to have altar calls. I'm saying if you're not surrendered, why? If you're not going after him, if you're not seeking, if you're not saying, God, work this in my life, I would just say as a preacher, why? What are you holding on to that's producing more life than he wants to? What are you holding on to that's accomplishing more eternal, long-term blessing than what he's created you for? What is so important that you're holding on to that's blessing you so much and making you so fruitful that you wouldn't give up to obtain this? That would be my question. What is so important to you that you wouldn't surrender it all for his great name? What is so exciting about your life that you wouldn't give it up to obtain this truth? That would be my question. That would be your article. And we're going to have a water baptism. If you've never been saved, man, I wouldn't see why now isn't the time. Now isn't the day.
Amen.
I wouldn't know why you wouldn't just show up out there and say, I ain't never given my life to him, but now's the time I want to surrender and die. Man, we'll put you in. We got a couple big men. We'll hold you under till every bubble completely stops. I've learned from experience, if you wait 40 seconds after the last bubble, you got it. You just hold it. And then 40 seconds after that little jerk, you got it. And then that's where you better have faith. You pull them up. New life. And I say, if they don't, we already know where they're at, so it's covered. So it's all good. It's a win-win. Win-win. Anybody for water baptism? See, the reason I share it this way is so you understand the whole reason you get water baptized, it's a sign of dying. Because unless you die, you can never truly live.
Come on, that's right.
And I have never seen anyone frustrated, disappointed, moody, full of attitude that would be honest and tell me they're blessed in that state. I've never seen anyone so consumed with themselves that they get tricked into thinking the whole world flows around their whole desires that can tell me they were actually blessed in that place. Ain't nobody. There ain't no married couple that can tell you when they had an argument, even if the husband or wife felt like they got in the last word and got the stinger in there, that can tell me when it was over that it was worth it and they felt great in it. You weren't created to live there. So if you're there in any way, why would you stay there? Let today be a day of repentance and change. We're going to water baptize. If you have never been water baptized, is there anybody that actually came planning to water baptize? Because I hardly talk about this week. I didn't even feel a strong push for it because you guys are so into flowing water baptism. But is there anybody here that's actually getting water baptized today? Yeah? Okay. That's awesome. Oh, I got girls over here. Good. If you want to join them, you say, well, I don't have my clothes. Well, it's Texas and you won't get cold. And we're so happy your seat will get a little wet. I said, man, when people get baptized in America, brother, in America, driving home wet with no change of clothes, you feel like God is moving. If you can inconvenience an American, too hot, too cold, hungry, and comfortable, come on, our flesh is so spoiled. If we get honest, we probably ought to fast for a month and whip that thing into shape.
Come on.
The whole time you're fasting, I thought you loved me. Where's the burger? You're killing me, man. It's the point. Every day you fast, and you're killing me, man. It's the point. Don't you love me anymore? Well, I used to. I used to like you. But you've been trying to hold me back. We ain't friends until you change. Don't you live for comfort. You live for his great name. If you'll teach yourself through prayer every day to wake up and live for His great name, Holy Spirit will help you. I promise He will empower you. I can show you scriptures that say you didn't pray a prayer to go to heaven. You died. Colossians 3, and your life is now hidden with God in Christ. And because of that, you set your mind on things above, not the things of the earth. Yeah? It says when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, evil desire, passion, blasphemy, filthy language from your mouth. Why? It's never from the beginning. It's all idolatry. And the wrath of God is coming to those who continue to practice in disobedience that live. It says, don't lie to one another. Well, before that, it says, you yourself are to put off anger and wrath and blasphemy and filthy language. It's you yourself are to put off these things. How do I put off all these things without getting into works and running the risk of failing? I get alone in prayer. I recognize these things aren't productive. They give me a right to have a right. And how can I deny myself and have so many rights? So I put them off. Father, I thank you. You never created me for this. Father, I thank you. No one owes me anything. Father, I thank you that I don't need patience because I have love and love is patient. No one owes me a thing. And God, I thank you. I didn't wake up to be treated right today. I woke up to shine. Holy Spirit, you empower me. So as you're putting off, you're putting on. It's prayer. You're saved by grace through faith. Every time you release faith in the truth, grace comes to make truth your reality. All of a sudden, you're not a self-made man. There's no super Christian. Nobody's going to get an award that day. We're all going to take off our crowns and bow at His feet because we are what we are by the grace of God. And He will surely get all the glory. There is no self-made man. There is no super Christian. There's just people that believe. Now, this is convicting, and I'm going to end with it. It's pretty sharp. What you believe will be determined by how you live your life, not what you said. Your life lived reveals your faith. And the just shall live by faith, and every man will stand before God and answer for his works. Not your works to be saved, your works after you're saved. And then we get scared about that, so we create once saved, always saved, so we make heaven the issue instead of a transformed life. And we ignore the topic. And all of a sudden, it's what we get from Him instead of what we become because of Him. And we get sidetracked and deceived. And we stay self-centered in our faith. So Christians reserve the right to be discouraged and frustrated instead of shine. Y'all good?
Yes.
I hope you're good. I didn't come here this morning to spank you. I came here to tell you who you are.
Amen.
And what He paid for. And watch this. We were just talking about it with the car. Where's my car dealer lady? Right there. She said, I really loved your illustration of the car because she's worked with car dealing and selling. She said, and I've been on both ends. The only reason you write the check for something because you believe your purchased possession is worth the price you paid. Nobody went onto the car lot and offered $5,000 more than what was in the window. Ladies, you didn't buy the blouse until it was on sale because you knew in 3 weeks it was going to be on sale because seasons were changing. And you said, why buy it now? I'll trust it's still there and I'll save me $25. Come on. Nobody went in there and took that blouse and said, oh my goodness, that's amazing. $35. Woohoo. And you get to the register and say, you know what? That is so beautiful. I'm going to give you $60. Did anybody ever do that? Why? Because you bought it for what you believed it was worth. And even if you thought you got a good buy, you were still willing to pay a little less than what you thought it was worth. If they were willing to sell it, right? So here's God the Father paying the blood of His Son to purchase us. So doesn't He think the purchased possession is well worth the price? Or is He a terrible businessman? Or maybe this doesn't have to do with business. Maybe it has to do with him saying, guys, I actually know who you are from the beginning. I know your purpose, your potential, your destiny, and I know what you'll look like if I'm in you and you're surrendered. You're worth paying for. And he's trusting that one day we'll get that and actually rise up in that truth and stop making it all about depravity and failure and sin and make it about purpose and walking in the light and living in the Spirit. Yeah?
Yeah.
Why would he pay a price for a whole bunch of perpetual sinners? I think he paid a price to redeem sons and daughters and put his life inside of us. Nobody would pay such a high price if they didn't think what they were getting for it was worth it. That's the value you possess in his sight, and that's not blasphemy. That's scripture. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to close in prayer, and I'm just going to ask you to let this be your altar call. I'm not going to do any other form of ministry. I feel like this morning God's just going and just giving us a chance to walk this thing out like never before. You can tell that I'm making sense. I'm not talking in riddles. I've asked the Lord a long time ago, if I'm going to stand in front of people, I'll let a man only have two choices when I'm finished. Brother, I hear what you're saying and I want it. Or I hear what you're saying, I just don't want it. But please don't let him say, what's he trying to say? I don't think this morning you're saying, what's he trying to say? It's just too clear. There's too much scripture wrapped around it. So I guess through a message like this, your heart's located. Your will is decided. Your want to is revealed. Because if you want this, you want what he created you for. You see, this is control. No, it's truth. That's why there's a judgment day. Because men chose something other than what they're here for. Men chose something that was never an option. You say, well, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil was an option. God put the tree in the garden. Nope, he said, don't ever eat of the tree. God said that. It was never an option. We've been eating of that tree since. We've learned from it. It's time to get back to the tree of life. I'm going to pray. This will be your altar call. You know what you're doing in your heart. I'm not calling nobody up here today. I don't even feel that in my heart. And we'll meet everybody that wants to meet out of that water baptism. And we'll be honored to water baptize anybody that's ready to surrender and die. And we won't hold you under till the bubbles stop. We will do a sweet, quick dip of faith. And isn't that the beautiful thing about Jesus? He hangs there and dies, stripped naked, and it took a few hours. And he's dead. And all we have to do is sincerely take a dip of faith for about a second and come up and step into everything he paid for. That's a pretty good deal, guys. I mean, wonder if we had to lay a big old rock over there and come back in 3 days and get y'all. Hey, Jesus took 3 days. We'll get you in three. Surely you'll be ready to come up by then. I think God can do the work in 3 days. It ain't like that, is it? The church I pastored, we had a guy build a big wooden thing around the baptismal. And everybody would freak out and say, that looks like a big coffin. I had it built that way on purpose. I said, it's on purpose because it's where you're going to die. I had a picture in my prayer time one time. And somebody needs to pull this off. Maybe you guys can work this out. One accord could be the first. I saw a big porcelain potty on a platform with a huge metal flush. And they were talking to people, what are you doing? Well, I just want to give my whole life to Jesus. I want to die to everything I've ever been, everything ever done to me. And I'm just putting my childhood behind me. I'm putting all my sins behind me. I'm ready to go all out and go all after Jesus. Okay, we baptize you right now. Great honor and privilege. And we put them under. And as soon as you put them under, you just have a deacon stand there. As soon as you put them under. And then as it's sucking down, you just pull them out of the whirl. Yeah, pull them out, save. That's such a contact point of faith, right? So where'd all that stuff go? Where'd all that hot stuff goes. That's what's happening out there today.
Come on.
Yeah? Yeah. Would you stand on your feet with me? We'll just close out this weekend. If you want to, it would be honorable to him. Just stand to our feet and acknowledge him. You be sincere. I'm just going to pray something for the room, okay? You talk to God. Now's your chance to just respond to what you heard and make your peace this way and let your heart know what you're deciding through what you heard today. And if you say nothing or you don't pursue God, that's your choice, that's your privilege. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, which starts when you get born again, not when the bell rings, because you were dead before that moment on the inside. Father, I thank you for this weekend. I thank you for the word. I just thank you for the grace to preach the intensity of what was preached this morning in ears that were able to hear it, hearts that were able to receive and respond. And I just believe that you found a people that you can talk this straight to. I just believe you want to talk this straight. And I thank you it's not too much to bear. And I thank you it's not overwhelming. I thank you it's not condemning. It's inspiring that you would value us so much that you would give us your son as a sacrifice and shed his blood to speak on our behalf to restore us back to your original intention. You were never mad. You never changed your mind. You never turned your face. You never allowed our lives to decide who you are. That's why who you are is deciding our lives. So I thank you for that grace in this room. And I pray even in this room there be some marriage restorations, some relational restorations, some father-son, father-daughter, mother-son, mother-daughter, some parental children healings and relationship change today because of this message. That God, you would burn and mark in our heart this truth and inspire us to come after you and walk in you. And let these things be the fruit of our life. And I'm praying for the sake of this room, God, and for everyone represented here, that on that day we would find grace, that on that day we would stand before you and not be ashamed and not be afraid to face you, but we would be confident because as you are, so were we in this world. Lord, thank you for giving us the right to walk with you. Thank you for making us one with you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And we ask you to continually empower us to walk out everything Jesus paid for. And we receive it with humility and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. We love you guys. Robert, you want to say anything to close out? Or?